pray tonight that the word of the Lord shall be spirit and life, quickening the dead. Lord God Almighty, calling the things that be not as though they were. We pray, O God, for a release of that power that raised Jesus from the dead.
Hallelujah.
That we might be quickened in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. That in the breaking of this bread, Christ shall be revealed in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, my Father. We ask this morning for an anointing upon this meeting. An unction, O God, upon this meeting tonight. That by this anointing, yoke shall be broken. Covering shall be destroyed. And Lord, the people shall be drawn, O God, into that place beyond the veil. Lord, that's our prayer. Respond to it. Answer it. For we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God for another opportunity to interact with the word that gives eternal life. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus spoke certain words to his disciples and said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. You know, and that word caused a lot of trouble. Hitherto they had been hearing what he had been saying and say, wow, great, wonderful. But when he came to that point, you know, certain things happened and some men got up and walked out. Praise the name of the Lord. And Jesus also turned to Peter and said, you have the same opportunity to go. Praise the name of the Lord. And Peter said, where shall we go to? To whom shall we go? You alone have the words that give eternal life. You see, there are words that give eternal life, and there are words that are empty. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, the fact that somebody is standing with a Bible and quoting scripture does not mean that he has life to give. The Bible says, if the clouds be full of water, they give rain upon the earth. You see, it's a time that God begins to, you know, change a lot of things. You know, somebody wears a collar. And you know, we're natural religious. Once you see somebody wearing a collar, you understand? That's the natural, you bow down. It's that collar. Praise the name of the Lord. Do you understand that we respond to the externals so much? And religion has been built on the externals. So, you know, if you see a building, you say, oh, that's a church. How do you know it's a church? Because it's built according to certain patterns that have been set where now in program inside us. It's the same thing with fashion. Do you understand that? You see, certain images are pulled into our consciousness. And somehow, something is packaged within you that is the way to be. So when you conform to that point, you feel good and looking good. Praise the name of the Lord. Meanwhile, there are people and spirits that are there, you understand, controlling these things. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, God wants to bring us, even as a people, even our image of beauty. What is beauty? Who determines beauty? Is it Vogue magazine? And for many of us, it's Vogue. Hallelujah. You see, a time has come when we need to go to the Lord. And the Lord will tell you what is beauty for yourself. You need not look like her. Each person is created distinct and what now? Unique. Your approval begins not to come from outward, from men. Your approval comes from who now? From God. Once you get that approval, you are confident. Do you understand the point, brethren? We cease to respond to our environment. And we need to cease. That is actually the essence of the message. Praise the name of the Lord and begin to respond to who now? To God. When God says, hey, Larry, you're looking good. You come out of the house. Do you understand? Bouncing. Are we together, brethren? That's it. That's beauty. That's glory. That's it. It's not whether you conform to, you know, and it's a problem much more for younger people because they are very impressionable. You see a battle. You understand the point? You know, mothers and daughters. Hey, that dress is too short. Mommy, what's wrong with the dress? you getting my point? What is it? She has seen somebody wearing it. Are you understanding my point? And she has believed that that is, you know, how to look good. So you see a battle. You see, the we and God. God says, come, let me show you what beauty is. It's something that comes from within. Praise the name of the Lord. And you see, changes everything. Praise the name of the Lord. So this is the time that the Lord is saying, come. You know, the life comes from within. And you see, from within, you influence without. See, the kingdom of God is going to come from within you. It's a river. Presently, it has been blocked by the Philistines. But it's about to be opened. From there, a river is going to flow out to the ends of the earth. That river will subdue everything before it. Dead things will come alive when they touch that river. The river comes from the words you speak. Comes from the kind touch, you understand, you give to your neighbor who is passing through. All of it is life. Praise the name of the Lord. And that's why we have gathered here. That's the purpose. That word that gives eternal life. It quickens. The dead here begin to hear the voice of the Son of Man. And they that have ears to hear will do what now? Will come alive. The response to the word you hear will determine whether you are alive or what now, or dead. It can be in the same fellowship. It's irrelevant. It's immaterial. You can be sitting down here today. It's irrelevant. It's immaterial. It depends on whether you have ears to do what now, to hear what the Spirit is what now saying to the churches. And I tell you, well, things are changing. You see, church will not always continue to be like this. You better know that. You know, here, maybe this is being transmitted, isn't it, into the net. So somebody in Russia could be on with us. You know, sometimes we have, you know, conferences and by Skype, somebody says in Russia, I have a word. You understand, I dreamt yesterday. And the person is sharing. Tomorrow, you will not need all this technology. You connect by the Spirit. Are you getting my point? And we're here, gathered physically. Somebody is in Chicago. And he's on. He said, you don't see, he calls him by the Spirit and say, brethren, I am on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You see, we have lived within the scope of certain limitations that we assume that that is all that life is. And part of the word we are hearing is God trying to bring us to an understanding that we are not always like that. Praise the name of the Lord. We are not limited. You see, the church will key into one frequency. You call a brother in, you know, New York. What was the Lord saying in church? And it was exactly what the Lord is saying here. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, and that's it. The capacity of man is so incredible that we have not even seen just 1% of it. Praise the name of the Lord. And brother, prepare. Prepare for another dimension of life. And one of the ways you prepare is don't get so caught up with this reality, because it's just a dream. It's just a shadow. It's just an image. Praise the name of the Lord. Prepare to wake up to the reality. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. That's what God is seeking to get across to all of us. So, brother, we are preparing to, you know, break out of something that has hitherto held us. We are also preparing to escape from something that is pursuing us and seeking to get a hold of us and keep us under. And but the Lord says that the redeemed of the Lord shall return to Zion. When there's a journey back, and it's not just a journey, it's also a race. Do you understand? It's a fight. You know, you are fighting. And then also you are trying to get out. You know, the Bible says there are weights that are seeking to, you understand, bog you down. You need to cast them off. There are sins, besetting sins that have become recurring decimals in your life. This year I was talking about pornography. It's an epidemic right now. You do not know how much of an epidemic it is among Christians. I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about Christians. You know, the Bible says that this mystery will sit in the temple of God. Do you understand the point? We're dealing with realities. And one of the things I learned said, it's stops your ability to function spiritually. It deadens it, it dulls it, it destroys it. And that's why it's such a, it's set before you. And once it gets its hook into you, it's an addiction. You find that suddenly you are under the power of something that you want to give up. The thing is saying, you're going nowhere. Praise the name of the Lord. And these are the giants in the land. These are these things that have grown. Giant is flesh that has grown out of proportion. That has become so dominant in your soul that is saying, where do you think you're going to? Nobody escapes me. When I get you, you are there. But brethren, the Lord is waking up. Hallelujah. And the redeemed shall return to Zion. The way, why you have an appointment on Mount Zion. This is God made an appointment. The day Israel left Egypt, God said, you will worship me in this mountain. You understand that? No doubt about it. A church will arise that will be God in spirit and what now? In truth. There is no power that can stop it. All you need to do is to decide that you want to be a part of it. Listen to me, brethren. The only thing that can stop you from getting there is you, not the devil. I tell you something, brethren. You see, we assume that the devil is our greatest enemy, but it's not true. My greatest enemy is who? Is me. You see, in the times before man, there was an arrangement that was made that you will have to make a choice which God you will do what now? You will serve. And whichever God you choose, that God you will serve. Whichever decision you take, both parties will abide by it. So you are here in this world presently for the purpose of making a choice. Whom will you what now? Serve. Which, what will you submit to? Is it the impulses, the signals that are coming from your lower nature? Or is it the signals that are coming from what now? Your higher nature. You must make a choice. One signal, if you keep responding to it, Romans tells us that is what now? Death. You are submitting to it, yielding to it. You are on the road that leads to what now? Death. But if you keep responding to the Spirit, it's not so much of what you do. It's just the fact that the Spirit says, sit down in the house, so don't go out. And you do what now? You see that. That act alone overthrew certain kingdoms within. Are we together? You don't have to be a great evangelist traversing the world. Praise the name of the Lord. No. You can be overcoming right in your home when you're cooking soup. Do you understand the point? Just living an ordinary life. Jesus lived a very ordinary life for 30 years. You know, we know his story for 3.5 years. Do you understand the point? But what about the 30 years? It was during that 30 years that he actually overcame. Those 30 years that we don't know anything about. Now, why did God bother not bother to tell us about? Because each, those 30 years for us mean different things. I don't know if you understand. Each of us work out our own overcoming in different circumstances. So it's not stereotyped. But it was after that 30 years that the Father said, I am pleased with you. It was that initiated him into the 3.5 years of the supernatural that we now know. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together, brethren? Yeah, it's important. There are so many things I believe that God really wants to begin to set our thinking. Put it in the right place. When a warning comes, for instance, there's a proverb that says, you know, in the book of Proverbs, it says, in vain is the net spread in the sight of a bird. Do you understand the point? Okay. You are here and somebody is digging a hole. You understand? And you know, they say, that hole is for Brother Emeka. And Emeka is watching them dig the hole. When they finish, they cover it. Do you understand? Put sand on top of it. It looks like a normal place. You think it's going to fall inside that hole? No way. Why? He knows. He has seen it. Praise the name of the Lord. And I believe that the word that God is sending to us is to make us aware of the devices. One of the good things about the devil is very predictable. Do you understand the point? He does the same thing consistently. He can't just do otherwise. And so God says, you must not be unaware. There is a plot against us. I'm going to start from 2 Samuel chapter 17. and we continue this journey today. 2 Samuel chapter 17. Praise the Lord. Are we there? Okay. I'm going to read from verse 1. I'll read from the Amplified. Chapter 17, 2 Samuel. If you get there, shout. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, verse 1 says, "Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, 'Let me choose 12,000 men, and I will set out and pursue David this night. I will come upon him while he is exhausted and weak, and cause him to panic. All the people with him will flee. Then I will strike down the king alone. I will bring back all the people to you. The removal of the man whom you seek is the assurance that all will return and all the people will be at peace.'" Praise the name of the Lord. Now, this was a plan. Praise the name of the Lord. This is the counsel of Ahithophel. Now, this is the plan of darkness. Now, there's a principle called darkness. When I say the devil is not your worst enemy, there is something that the devil is using, and that thing is also using the devil. Are we together? It's an energy. The Bible says that God is light. Do you understand that? In him is no darkness at all. Now, this light is energy. It's a capacity to live in a particular way. So when you begin to function by the energy of light, you are called sons of what now? Of light. That's why the Bible says that we are to be sons of light in the midst of a crooked and what now? A perverse generation, among whom we shine forth. This light is manifested in the works that we do. Isn't it? He said, "Let your light so shine forth before men that they may see what now? Your good works, and give glory to who? To God." Now, there is also a principle called darkness. Do you understand? When the devil rebelled against God, he could no longer function with the light. He had to plug into another energy source. Praise the name of the Lord. But are we together? He plugged into another source of energy called darkness. It is this energy that powers him. When you remove that source of energy from him, he becomes weak and what now? And powerless. Hallelujah. Bring we together. You must understand this. This is the key to the battle that we are going to fight. Yes. You know, the Pentecostals spend a lot of time. Devil will bind you and they will spend 24 hours. It's not bad. It's a level of spiritual warfare. But there's another dimension where you just disconnect from darkness.
Hallelujah. Glory. Amen.
You simply disconnect. Do you understand? The Bible says, "Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of what now? Of darkness." So that when the prince of this world cometh, he finds what now? Nothing. Now, you see, there is something we're looking at. Because these things happen in the night. Ahithophel said, "Let me go after him." When? This night. Jesus told the disciples, "All of you, this night, all of you will do what now? Will forsake me." Better know that we are entering into the night season. Are you getting my point? The hour of darkness. At this time, the enemy will be allowed to do certain things. All over the world, he is already functioning. But you see, the good thing is that it is evening. And then what now? Morning. Do you understand that? Darkness first, and then what now? Light. Those who have the capacity to endure through the night will rejoice in the morning.
Hallelujah.
But many will be caught up in the night.
Glory.
There are men who will stand by night in the house of the Lord. During the night season, they are what now? Giving glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Brethren, are we together? This thing, Genesis chapter 1, the darkness he called night. Is that correct? The principle, the energy, the nature called darkness has a name.
His name is what now? Night. And then the energy called light also has a name. The name is called day. Praise the name of the Lord. So these two principles are working in my soul, seeking to break forth. I'm either going to come into darkness, midnight, or I'm going to break forth. The day will do what now? Dawn upon me. Something must break forth, and it is going to be demonstrated in my personality. Then that, about the wise ones will shine forth. Is that what the Bible says? As stars bright in their Father's kingdom. Every man according to the degree of your commitment, consecration, dedication, separation. Do you understand the point? And your love and obedience to who now? To God. It will determine the degree of brightness in the day of your manifestation. Praise the name of the Lord. Now that's the reason why this life is not a game. That's the reason why you must redeem the time. Praise the name of the Lord. That's the reason why you are wise if you invest in eternity. Praise the name of the Lord. That is why you must give all diligence to make your calling and your election what now? Sure. Praise the name of the Lord. So this night, there is a conspiracy. There is a counsel, an evil counsel against you. Praise the name of the Lord. This principle that has been battling to break out of my person has taken a decision. You know, we read from Exodus. He said, I will pursue them. I will overtake them. My lusts shall be satisfied upon them. You see, there are certain spirits that want to use you to express themselves. Do you understand? They want to use you to express their rebellion against God. They had bodies, but they are disconnected from those bodies, and they entered into a condition of hell, spirit without body, wandering through desolate places. You see, it's like, you know, it's the I don't want to digress into talking about the body, but you see, this thing is a great mystery. Praise the name of the Lord. The body, what you use this body to do is fundamental. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10, it said, for we must stand before the judgment seat of Christ, so that we may give account for the things that we have done while in the body. There is a phase called in the body. That is now. Praise the name of the Lord. You are given a body, and there's a purpose for that body. You know, the Bible said that the body is not for fornication, both physical and spiritual. Do you understand that? Are we together? The body is for who now? For the Lord. The Lord has a need. He created this body to manifest himself. It is to be his house for all eternity. And the Bible says any man who defies this body, God will destroy him. That's very serious. Do you understand that? That's very, because the body belongs to who? To God. It's not really mine. Hallelujah. It was given to me to express the glory of God. Gave it to me, believing that I will use this body to glorify him. So that he will turn around and present me to principalities and powers. Say, yeah, look at it. This was what I said in the beginning. That there will be men who will serve me, come rain, come sun, in sickness, in health, in richness, in wealth, in poverty, in every aspect of life, they will stand consistent. They are not worshipping me because I'm giving them money or anything. They just worship me because they love me. The devil say there's no such people. You understand the point? Nothing goes for nothing. And that's a kingdom, that's a principle that dominates the world today. But now we're together, and it has crept into the church. And this is the mystery we're talking about. It's pursuing. And some are being already, do you understand, overtaken. And the Bible says that so that we might escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. The thing comes through lust. Cravings. And you see, the enemy has set things in the world to stir up that lust. the pictures we see, the music we hear, the movies we watch, the photographs, the magazines, do you understand the point? The education, everything is to stir up what now lost in you. And the Bible says we must abstain from this lust, because they're actually waging a war against what now? Our soul. This is what the business is all about. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah! Now, when we begin to get these things, we begin to understand that we are beginning to do business with the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. So we see that there is a counsel. The Lord wants us to know that while you are here, somebody has plotted against you. Do you understand me, brethren? You see, and like we read the story, David had moved to a point. He had crossed the brook of Kidron. Now that's a major move. If you remember Kidron in the days of Hezekiah, when the temple is cleansed, that's where all the rubbish is what now is poured into. It represents a level of consecration and a level of separation and a level of progress in God. Praise the name of the Lord. But Hushai sent word to David and said, thank God we have moved to this point, but it's not enough. He said, thus and thus has Ahithophel counseled against you. I'm giving you a warning. Don't relax. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, because they were really tired. They felt, Lord, God, we are weary, and they were discouraged. I mean, it was a shock to find out that one day you were in the palace, the next day you were in the open field. The people who used to hail you were now mocking you. Do you understand that? He was wondering what in the world is going on. That night, David got up. Do you understand the point? It's not a question of I'm tired. He got up. He called his men. Said, everybody get up. We must move. Okay, we're really worn out. We've marched how many miles? Say, look, we need to move. That night, they began to move. And the Bible tells us that before morning, if you remember the scriptures very well, before morning, there was not one man with him who had not what now crossed over. They had crossed over where? Jordan. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, the key to this thing is Jordan.
Hallelujah.
You know what Jordan represents? It's the river of death to what now? To self. Praise the name of the Lord. It's the river of death. Jordan is the boundary between this realm and the other realm. Praise the name of the Lord. I said it yesterday that the moment Israel crossed Jordan, it was all over. Even though they had not fought the battles yet, but the kings of the Canaanites, the Bible says their capacity, their power was what now? Taken away. Do you know why? It's their princes of darkness. The moment a man crosses the threshold and stops giving life to darkness, the battle is what now? It's finished. The battle is all over, as we're going to see. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So, brethren, there is a counsel against you. When you're sleeping, know it. When you're moving on the streets, know it. Life is not a jamboree. Praise the name of the Lord. It has a serious matter on the table. And so, when David crossed over, Ahithophel, you know, Ahithophel and Absalom is just like the beast and the false prophet. You understand? That is part of what we are dealing with. So that night that they came to Jesus, he was ready. Because he had, you know, he battled with his appetite, his taste, his natural man. He said, look, Lord, I don't like this experience I'm going to go through. Do you understand the point? If there's any other way we can do this thing.
Yes.
He battled that night until he came to a point and said, Lord, not my will, but what now? Your will. The matter was what? Settled. So when they came, he willingly surrendered and submitted to them. He said, I'm surrendering not because you can really do anything. And he showed it. He said, who are you looking for? He said, I am he. And the moment they heard that name, everybody was on the ground. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, at that point, the disciples who did not pass through that battle, Peter picked up his knife and began to roar in the flesh. He had not crossed the threshold. The others ran away. Praise the name of the Lord. He said, I was with you all through. You see, we're going to see that our experiences all through our Christian life, all through Pentecost, is about to change. Praise the name of the Lord. Something is going to happen. Jesus did many miracles. They didn't do anything to him. They couldn't catch him. They couldn't touch him. And the Lord allowed it. But when he came to this point, he was about to be tested. He was about to be searched. And brethren, you are going to be searched. Oh, yeah. It becomes important that you make sure that the enemy has nothing in you. Because this is what it's all about. The truth is that God is presenting some people as a sacrifice. That is the name of the game. Just the way Jesus prepared himself to be offered, we are being prepared to be offered. Now, when a man is being prepared for sacrifice, he needs to become conscious of that. That, you know, when they stood him before Pontius Pilate, and they were shouting at him, you know, he didn't take it personally. He knew what was happening, so he didn't try to defend his personality. You know, we love our personality, isn't it? How often would you want to make sure that people don't misunderstand you, let them really understand where you are coming from, when it will be simple to just do what the Lord says, do. He stood. They spoke this way, try this, try that, he just stood. He knew that any word out of order, any reaction out of order would spoil that offering. That offering will not be perfect. I was looking at the scriptures and I found out that the children of Israel crossed the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. That's the day they crossed Jordan. And it was also on the 10th day of the first month that the lamb is brought, if you remember. The lamb is brought on the 10th day of the first month, the lamb for Passover. And the lamb is kept from that 10th day to the 14th day. It's kept for inspection. For that 4 days, the lamb will be inspected. They will look under it. For what now? Spot, blemish. Because the Lord says, I will present you irrebukable, irreproachable, unblemished, without fault, before his throne. And we're going to see what that means too. Praise the name of the Lord. So for 4 days, and you know, Jesus came to Jerusalem. That triumphant entry was on the 10th day of that month. He came in as the sacrifice. From there, he began to undergo inspection. The religious men took him, and they inspected him. They could find no fault. They took him to Herod, inspected him. There was no fault. They took him to Pilate, Pontius Pilate. And funny enough, it was Pontius Pilate, a non-Jew, who made the pronouncement, I find no fault in this man. A non-believer. I tell you what, it's the world that would inspect us. Are you understanding me? You see, when Jesus was on the cross, it was the same thing. You know, people said many things. The Jews were castigating him. One of the things on the cross was, you know, eventually it was an unbeliever, a centurion, who said, truly, this man was the Son of God. That is the end of my testimony. Hallelujah. That's how my story will end. That's how your story should end. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. All things, people have said many things. So they, this man is this. He's calling Elijah. Let us see if Elijah will save him. Come down from the cross. Many things were said. But the last statement, the seventh comment there was, surely this was the Son of God. There is no way we can doubt it. We cannot fault it. Everything has pointed to this fact. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So this is where we are going to. So when you realize that you are being a sacrifice, it's important that you stop responding to personal issues. Hallelujah. Because you are not your own. Praise the name of the Lord. You are to take positions that will not tamper with your ability to present yourself as what now? A living sacrifice. We live in a world, we think that we are in this world for ourselves. Praise the name of the Lord. Anything the Lord allows you to do in this life is a privilege. The work he allows you to do, the wife and husband he allows you to marry, the children he allows you to have, these are all, you understand, privileges, and should not constitute a distraction
to the calling to present yourself as what now? A living sacrifice. So that in the day of inspection, you know, when Jesus rose from the dead, praise the name of the Lord, hallelujah, he had to go up and present himself. But that is story. Let's go to Genesis 31 and let's chase the matter from there. Praise the name of the Lord. Genesis chapter 31. Let's look at the chase, the pursuits. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 31. Hallelujah. We're going to start from verse 17. I will just tell you, paraphrase from 1 to 16. Genesis 31 from verse 17. You know that Jacob came into the land of Haran, praise the name of the Lord, as a refugee, right? He was fleeing from his brother Esau, and he came to his mother's kinsmen, and he met Rachel, and married Leah, and married Rachel. In that place, he had how many children now? He had 11 sons and one daughter. That's 12 children. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He prospered. He increased in goods. The Lord really blessed him. He experienced the miraculous. He saw signs and wonders. He saw everything. But one day the Lord told him, get up and do what now? Get back to your homeland. Now, for us, our homeland is Mount Zion. It is the realm of the Spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. It is where we walk, talk, function, hear, react, and respond by what now? The Spirit. Where we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that does what now? Comes out of the mouth of God. It's a place where the word of God can sustain a man. It can stop you from going hungry. Do you understand that? That a man's went up a mountain for 40 days, he didn't eat, he didn't drink. What does that tell you? That the word, this word, can provide alternative energy. Hallelujah. For this body.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says so, that bread for the belly, belly for food. God will destroy both of them. If you read another translation, it says at a point their functions will cease. A time will come when they will not need to eat, though you can eat. Are we together? Though you can eat, Jesus ate when he rose from the dead, but he was no longer sustained by that. You know, food simply brings energy into your body, right? So what if you have another source of energy that can sustain the body? The food becomes what now? Irrelevant. Are we together, brethren? Now, we need to know where we are going. We need to know what God is putting on the table for you. It is the basis on which you can say no. Moses could say no to the kingdom of Egypt, the power, the riches, the glory, because he saw him that was invisible. Do you understand me? We are, the things of this world is attracting us so much because we have not seen what God is offering us. When we see, then we find that nothing is compared to this one. Praise the name of the Lord. I want that, brethren. Praise the name of the Lord. This word is going to be sufficient. It will be sufficient for your health. And not just health, it is healing and health. He said that the trees, the leaves of that tree, were for the healing and the health of the nations. Praise the name of the Lord. So we see that Jacob lived a life, and for us, we could call it our Christianity up to Pentecost. We've experienced God. God has blessed us. God has prospered us. God has done good things to us. God has given us wives and children. We are married. We are blessed. Now God says it is time to return. The reason is simple. Jacob will not get his inheritance in that strange what now? Land. Are we together, brethren? You see, what we are looking for from God is not just some miracles, all these things. No, 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 no. There is something, an inheritance. And he said, you have to go back. And brethren, that place is just the life of the Spirit. We have dwelt on the natural realm for long enough. It's time to move.
And in order to do that, God generated circumstances, unfavorable circumstances to push him. Laban suddenly changed attitude. And I tell you, brethren, the world is becoming hostile to us. Did you notice that? We are becoming an endangered species. They are seeing us as an obstacle towards having a free world. The gospel you preach disturbs their conscience. They don't like it. Do you understand the point? It reminds them, oh, there is a God, and they don't want to hear that because it stops them from really going all the way. Immorality, wickedness, and all that. So they need to remove that obstruction completely. So Laban began to, you know, became unreasonably. The sons of Laban were now saying, Jacob has taken away our father's well, which was not true. Praise the name of the Lord. Of course, you know the story very well. But at least once Jacob became uncomfortable and he began to think back home. So tribulation is God's way of making you think back home. Praise the name of the Lord, so that we don't get too comfortable in this environment. Amen. Amen. And so God says, go back. And he began to plan to go back. Now the first thing he did was to call his wives. Praise the name of the Lord. In a way, the Lord is calling us. We are also the wives of the Lord. Do you understand the point? There is Rhea, there is Rachel. Now, said, we are returning back. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and then I'll come and do what now? I'll take you. Are you going? We have to make a response. Now, so it's time to go back. So Jacob spoke to them. They said, we are willing to go. We don't have any more inheritance in our father's house. Now, let's assume that you and I are the wives. Now, our father was the devil, right? Before. Praise the name of the Lord, before we married unto this man. So we have no more inheritance there. We are ready to go. Now, having said that, Rachel did something else. She collected some stuff. Her father's household gods. Now, she took it really for protection. Are we together? It was a long journey, dangerous journey. And so she had to rely on what she had always, what now, known. So she took it. And that's our life. We rely on the things that we have known. So, you know, so she collected it. And she took off. Jacob did not know. Now, some of us are carrying baggage. Do you understand the point? In terms of attitudes, lusts, appetites. Do you understand the point? Certain fleshly, you know, conditions that is part of our, you know, fallen nature. We're still going on with it because we feel it's helpful to us. Now, but you see, there's a catch there. When Laban came back and saw that the household gods were gone, in those days, whoever holds those gods is a title deed to the property, yes. So if you have it, you can claim that whole place. So the man was worried and he came after them. You know, the Bible says that they had left for 3 days. On the third day, Laban was informed that Jacob had fled. And so he came after them. And he pursued them up to the seventh day. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, brethren, we are approaching the seventh day. Now, on this seventh day, God is going to allow a confrontation between us and darkness. Do you understand the point? So, better get ready for it. Anybody who tells you that you're going to be raptured is deluding you. Get ready for war. Because on the seventh day, Laban overtook Jacob. Praise the name of the Lord. He overtook him. You know, the seventh day is also the third day. Okay. Praise God. Now, he overtook him and he met him somewhere. They camped two camps. Jacob on one camp, Laban on the other camp. So Laban came down and he said, Jacob, why did you steal away from me like this? I would have wanted to send away my daughters with, you understand, you know, merriment. Look at Laban. Do you understand the point? Imagine Laban. You know, Jacob and Laban come from the same stock. You know that. Okay? They are both masters of craftiness because it's the same blood. Are you understanding my point? The same blood. One of the reasons why God took Jacob there was to cure Jacob of craftiness. You know, when Israel decided to worship idols, God said, let me send you to the headquarter of idols, and he sent them to Babylon. So there you will see idols. You know, when Israel left Babylon, you will never hear idolatry anymore in Israel's history. It cured them. So God sent him to the master of craftiness. And he saw somebody craftier than himself. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, but brethren, you see, this confrontation is ordained of the Lord. Because the Lord had prepared, he rebuked Laban that night. Praise the name of the Lord. And said, better be careful how you deal with who now, David. You see, brethren, whenever the enemy wants to come at us, he has to take permission from the Lord, isn't it? Jesus said to Peter, Satan has desired to do what? To sift you. Why? He came to take permission. I have to. You see, this one is your own person. I have to do what now? Test him. Now, why are we going to be tested? You see, the whole plan is that you are going to judge the devil. Are you understanding me? And you cannot judge him if you are doing the same thing that what now he is doing. So the deal is that before you can judge him, he has to be allowed to test you and prove that there is no such capacity within you. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying, brethren. You know, Christians talk so many things. We are going to rule and reign. There are conditions for ruling. He that ruleth over men must what now? Be just. Do you understand the point? The throne is established in righteousness. It says an abomination for kings to do what now? Iniquity. There is a condition for that. So it's not all we are born again. When Christ comes, we rule with him. It doesn't work like that. Praise the name of the Lord. There are things that qualify you for ruling. Joseph was to be set upon the throne. Hallelujah. But he had to undergo test. Praise the name of the Lord. And part of the test was even when God brought his brethren who had hurt him to see what he would do to them. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? Yes. You know, sometimes people, God allows some people to hurt you. Sometimes we wish that people will not hurt us. But it is just wishful wishing. Are we together? Praise God. If there's such a word like that. Because people will certainly hurt you to show your capacity to forgive. To show whether you are fit for the throne. Do you understand that? The same way Judah. Remember Judah? Judah. How did Judah get the throne? Because he exhibited something. You know, when these sons came, only 10 of them came. Joseph looked, he didn't see Benjamin. He said, my God, they have done to Benjamin what they did to me. You know, because that time it was a kingdom divided against itself. Boy, everybody according to his mother's lineage. So he said, I'm not doing business with you. Go and bring your other brother. I can't do. And then he chose Simon and tied him up. You know why he chose Simon? Simon was the ringleader. He was the one who said, there is a dreamer. Let us what now? Kill him. You know, Jacob said, Simon, instruments of cruelty are in your tabernacle. Now, brethren, some of us have capacity for cruelty. To carry grudge. You feed the grudge until the grudge grows and becomes a giant. Harassing and terrorizing everybody. Praise the name of the Lord. He said, instruments of cruelty are in your tabernacle. He said, oh my soul, don't come into their fellowship. Did you notice that? That there are some fellowship the Lord will do what now? Will not draw near. Because of instruments of what now? Create ill wound and danger and bite and devour one another. So he took Simon and tied him and kept him. And the rest went back to bring Benjamin. You know, because what they said, we are the sons of one father. Really? One body, one Lord, one faith. Really? You know, when they were being examined, they didn't know they were being examined. Did you notice that? They thought they were standing before a foreign God. They didn't know that it was the Lord who was what now? Examining. Believe me, brethren, the things we pass through life, and not just regular experience, it's an examination. Make sure you don't forget it and fail. When your brother steps on your toe, don't be looking too much at the brother. Just realize that God is what now? Examining me. Let that be what will prompt your reaction. Praise the name of the Lord. But I don't know if you are catching what I'm trying to say. You see, when we begin to see the other side of the picture, your attitude towards certain things will do what now? Will change. So that you do not spoil your capacity to be presented as what now? An offering. They didn't know they were being examined. They said their father, the man asked us this question, is your father alive?
Yeah.
There's an old man inside me here. Do you understand the point? Is he still alive? The old nature, is he still what now? Alive. It's a question, you have to answer it. There's a young man, when Absalom was fighting, David said, the young man, is he still what now? Alive. Praise the name of the Lord. When David brought forth a child out of adultery, the child was dying. He said, the child, is he still alive? You know, we are children, we are young men, and we are old men, isn't it? According to John. There is an old nature that you must put through certain experiences to show whether that old nature is still what now? Alive. So he was trying to say, are you still the same people that put me, you understand, in this way? Or has something happened to you? And the truth is that before we appear before the throne, let it be that something has what now happened. Praise the name of the Lord. Let it be that a new change has taken place in my nature. Let it be that something has happened. So that, you see, when they came the second time and brought Benjamin, you know, Judah made a vow before Jacob. If I don't come back with Benjamin, do you understand the point? Take my two sons. He laid down his life for his brethren. Praise the name of the Lord. So when they came back with Benjamin, Joseph relaxed a little. He saw that at least they had moved one step. They had progressed in their faith. But the second test was there. He now took his cup, put in Benjamin's this thing, and when they left, he pursued them and caught up with them. He overtook them. And they opened their sacks. You know, there will be a searching, brethren. It's the same thing. The cup is the, you know, the enemy's cup. He opened the sack and there was what now? Pharaoh's cup. And Pharaoh arrested Jacob. Do you know what the Bible says? That if your brother be overtaken in a fault, did you notice that? Yes. Pharaoh overtook them and bam, it was Benjamin. What happened? They didn't say, okay, I carry him. Let's be going back to our father. Holy, holy. Meanwhile, Benjamin is in the captivity of Pharaoh. It doesn't work that way, brethren. They stopped their journey and did what? Went back for him. Now, when they got there, Joseph said, there's no problem. I see the person who is guilty. All of you can do what now? You can go. He was testing them. He was testing them, brethren. And, you know, they said, Judah said, impossible. Take me. Let me become your slave. Hey, how can I face my father without my brother? How can I? It's not a question of Cain, who was of that evil one that said, I don't know about him, am I my brother's what now? Keeper. What's my business with that? Praise the name of the Lord. Then are we together, brethren? Yes. It was on the bed when Joseph saw that this people were truly one. Praise the name of the Lord. They had come to the point where one could lay down. Praise the name of the Lord. When are we together? It was the heart of Judah. God says, this is the kind of man that I want to make my king. He said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Praise the name of the Lord. So you see that the firstborn, the right of the firstborn was given to Joseph, and the kingship was given to Judah. So Judah and Ephraim became the two principal tribes in Israel. Where are we? Praise the name of the Lord. Where are we? So Laban caught up with Jacob. But like I said, the Lord rebuked Laban that night. So as the enemy is catching up with us, there is already a rebuke. See, touch not my anointed and do my prophet what now? No harm. So the confrontation is based on the Lord's terms. Any trial that comes your way is a trial that is not greater than what now? Than you.
Hallelujah.
The Lord has already measured it.
Glory.
I don't know, whatever you are passing through, whatever situation, whatever it is, I can assure you that before it came, the Lord rebuked it in the night.
That's right.
And said, this is the limit to which you can go. Thus far, no further. Praise the name of the Lord. So with that, brethren, we can face life with some level of confidence. I was listening to a song. He said, I don't know what comes tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm not bothered about tomorrow because I know who holds tomorrow. And so, brethren, Laban said, you have my property. Praise the name of the Lord. Jacob said, I have nothing that belongs to you. But then that comes the key word. He said, search my house. We are the house of the Lord. But he said something very serious. Say, whoever is holding your property, let him die. Bring them together. Now, how did Rachel come to this point? Rachel had been hearing about the God of Jacob, but she had not known the God of Jacob. She had been hearing messages upon messages, but she had not personally come to trust, rely, have confidence in this God to see her through. So Laban went from tent to tent. He went from tent to tent. He went from tent to tent, searching. And brethren, today the church is being searched. We pray, say, Lord, search me. Before even the enemy comes to search me, Lord, do what? Search me. So that when the enemy searches me, I will not be embarrassed. Nothing will be found. When Jesus said that the prince of this world coming, and truly, the prince of this world is coming, Judas and the rest, and they searched him, he said, I find no fault. He findeth nothing in me. But then that is the same way you are going to go through. You are going to be searched. You're going to be searched through different experiences, through different situations, through different challenges, through different encounters, to find out whatever it is that is within you. Rachel hid it very well. So physically, Laban did not see it, but spiritually, the enemy saw it. You know, it cost her her life. It cost her her life. Praise the name of the Lord. So, but see, look at what happened. The enemy searched and found nothing. Praise the name of the Lord. Now you see, when Laban had finished searching, you know, because you see what happened. Jacob said, look, put your kinsmen this way. I'll put my own kinsmen this way. Let them be inspecting the searching. You see, brethren, as we're being searched in the heavens, the kingdom of darkness is this side watching, and the kingdom of light is watching. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay. They are watching my searching. They are watching. Everybody's watching. Now, when they searched and nothing was found, you know what happened? The game changed. It was no longer Laban harassing Jacob. It was now Jacob, what now? Harassing Laban. Jacob was shouting on him. Was pouncing on him. And Laban was now saying, sorry. 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 Do you understand the point? Brethren, I tell you something. The tide will change.
Amen.
The tide will change.
Yes.
He said, what is my sin? Because that's what he was looking for anyway. What is my fault? If you read, that you have so hotly pursued me. Present it, let them see. And Laban was what now? Shut up. For the wicked shall be silent in the darkness. Let us see it. All this noise I've been making, when is it? And the man was saying, sorry, sorry, sorry. Praise the name of the Lord. When the matter was done, something happened. They took a pile of stones. Hello? And they sat there.
That pile of stone became a boundary. Laban said, from today, I will not cross this boundary to do you harm. My matter with you is ended. Praise the name of the Lord. The Lord set a boundary. You see, there is a church that will overcome, and the sons of wickedness cannot afflict them anymore. The dragon cannot attempt to touch them anymore. See, that the wicked one toucheth him not, because he has been searched, and nothing has been found in him. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, the implications of this are great. You see, Jesus, as the lamb that was taken on the 10th day, sat through the 14th day, offered without spot, according to the scriptures, right? And then Mary wanted to touch him. He said, hold on, I need to present this evidence before the Father of a man who lived a life totally dependent on the Father. There was no sin, there was no spot, there was no blemish. So he took it, takes the blood to the Father and presents, say, Father, here it is, the hope of redemption, the first fruits, the beginning of what God is about to do. And the Lord said, hold on, go and call the devil and tell him when he's coming, let him bring his kinsmen. Praise the name of the Lord. Bring your kinsmen and come. So they will all arrive. And he says, here it is. Praise the name of the Lord. Check it. That's blood. Any spot? No. Any wrinkle? No. Any blemish? No. Any such thing? No. Any cause for reproach? Cause for rebuke? Nothing. Any fault? Nothing. Praise the name of the Lord. And he said, okay. Are you sure? He said, yes. He said, oh yeah. Sign. So the devil has an affidavit that he signed in the blood. So anytime the blood is raised up against him, he has no reply. Praise the name of the Lord, because he verified it. When we stand on that blood, brethren, we have boldness. We have confidence. Praise the name of the Lord, to come boldly, even though we are not yet perfect. But we are standing on existing protocol. Praise the name of the Lord. Do you understand what I mean, brethren? You are standing on existing protocol. So you have access. Until all that he has accomplished becomes a experiential reality in my life. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So this pursuit will end this way. At this time of the end, the Lord will allow darkness to cover the earth. We are entering into the hour of darkness, when the devil will be allowed to manifest. And brethren, they are manifesting. You understand? So much of the workings of darkness is going on. And it has to be, because if you look at these days of creation, on the sixth day, the beast was created first. Notice that. So the beast will come out first. He will come out first. Then the sun will come. It is when the sun comes that God's program is what now? Closes. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I want to close by saying something. And I want to read Luke 23. This is the, as it were, the landing pad. Luke chapter 23. Praise the Lord. Are we there? Okay, let me start from verse 1. I read Amplified. They say, then the whole assembly of them got up and conducted Jesus before Pilate, and they began to accuse him, asserting, we found this man perverting, misleading, corrupting, and taking away our nation, and forbidding to pay tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, a king. Praise the name of the Lord. So Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And he answered, it is just as you say, I am. And Pilate said to the chief priests and the throngs, I find no guilt or crime in this man. But Faf says, they were urgent and emphatic saying he stirs up and excites the people, praise the name of the Lord, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee, where he began, even unto this place. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, let me stop here before we continue. Now, there is something that is on trial within me. It is the Christ. He is on trial. The question is, what will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? It is this assertion that he is the Christ. Do you understand the point? That is the issue. It's not another thing, but the assertion that he is the Christ, the claim of being the Son of God, that is the problem. And so, now, these other guys, the own problem is that if really people respond to this reality, our influence over the people will lose it. Do you understand the point? Now, this is a contest for who will have influence over your soul. Who will determine what you will do, which direction you will go, the kind of friends that you will keep, the kind of movies you will watch, do you understand the point? The kind of clothes you will wear, okay? The kind of choices that you will make. Who will determine it? So you see a situation where there is a conflict going on. And these voices are all coming from within you. The two voices, praise the name of the Lord, raising up, you know, and here is the issue. Now, one voice, you know, is very loud. You know, the Bible says she is loud and clamorous and shouting and insisting. And you see, something peculiar happened during the trial of Jesus. Now, under Jewish law, no man is tried in the night. Trials must take place by day. They broke every law of trial in Israel was broken at the trial of Jesus Christ. They tried him by night. And part of the reason was also to make sure that there were not too many people around. So they had informed their own people. And they put the crowd was there. So you see, when they raise their hand like this, shout! Do you understand the problem? When I do eye like this, shout! You know? So, you know, their own party was there in full force. You know? So, their voices were insisting. You know, Pilate was asking, what has this man done? Why must he die? They said, crucify him. And you see, in our lives, there are voices that come from the flesh, our appetite. And you know, they can be really loud. I'm hungry. Give me food. Praise the name of the Lord. And the voice is very loud and insistent. Now, Israel, if I read something in Psalm 106, he said that they sang his praise, they saw his miracles, but then they did something. They wanted their own way. They asked for meat in their lusts. They refused to follow his plans. And they were insisting, give us meat. Do you understand? We want this. And at a point in time, the Lord does what now? He gives you what you want. Now, you see, the truth is that sometimes, you know, some people pray, and they pray and insist on something. If you insist enough, you will get it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If you insist enough, you will get it. But sometimes in getting it, you are discharged from God's program. Are we together? He gave them what they wanted, but he sent leanness unto what now? Unto their souls. He gave them meat while they were eating, he slew them. In this case now, Pilate prophetically, typically now, becomes a type of the Father, of the Spirit. Saying, hold it. Three times he asked them, why must he die? What has he done? No answer. We just want him to do what now? To die. You see, brethren, the challenge, look at what Ahithophel said. He said, when I go, I won't talk to people, I will smite only what now? David. He is their head. The moment they have no head, they will simply do what now? Return back to you.
Are we together, brethren? You see, the issue in the church is the headship of Christ. If you get into a particular denomination, there are certain things you preach, even end time, sonship, no problem. But once you touch the issue of headship, the pastor begins to, you understand, shift like this. You know, being in churches, he begins to shift like this. Why? He's afraid that he will lose control over what now? His flock. Do you understand me, brethren? And the truth is that you have to lose control, because the Lord is coming and has come to take what now? Control. This is what it's all about. Every day we are losing our head and taking up the headship of who now? Of Christ. That's the battle. That's the battle. The world, our problem with the world is the same thing. If we dismiss the king, you know, when the enemy begins to set up men in the place of God, you know, he is planning to take over. Because the men he's setting up are under his control. So it becomes important that the fulcrum of this message is a personal, intimate relationship with you now, with the head. Are we together? You must learn to know God for yourself, to hear him for yourself. Do you understand the point? To relate to him, what now? Personally. Praise the name. It's easy to allow somebody. You know, some people outsource their spirituality. You understand the point? Good. Here, you are the one be hearing God for me, see visions for me, dreams for me. Do you understand the point? Preach, receive, preach for me. No way. Do you understand the point? Each person must connect to who? To the head. Praise the name of the Lord. So this is a battle. The battle is who will be released. You know, at that Passover feast, there were two prisoners inside the cell. And you see, funny enough, both their names were Jesus. One is Jesus the Christ. The other one is Jesus Barabbas. Most people don't know, Barabbas' first name is Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. And went together, there were two Jesus inside the cell. And that Passover, one must be released. One must be manifested. One must comfort. So this other Jesus, Barabbas, is arrested for murder. You know, who was the first murderer from the beginning? The devil, right? And he was arrested for revolt, insurrection, for lawlessness. So he is the man of lawlessness that sits in the temple of God. That day, somebody must be released. That period, that night, somebody must be set free. Praise the name of the Lord. Who will be released? Because they insisted and insisted and insisted. You see, brethren, when every day we keep making decisions based on our carnal nature, do you understand the point? You see, you are making a position. You are taking a position. And at a point, after three opportunities, you see, Pilate now did what? He gave them what they wanted. Praise the name of the Lord. He said, though they knew God, but they refused to glorify him as God. Brethren, what are we doing in our lives? We know God, but when it comes to giving glory and giving preeminence, and allow the Spirit of God to decide on the choices that we make on a daily basis, it is still the flesh that is what now deciding. If we continue long enough, the Lord says the Lord gave them over to their desires. What is it that you want? Take. Then terrible things are going to happen. Praise the name of the Lord. That's how Judas, after working so closely with the Lord, could wake up one morning. Do you understand? And, you know, it was because of certain things. The Bible says he was a thief. He was covetous. Do you understand? And he refused to deal with that what now? Situation. And you see, any principle that you do not deal with, it grows. That's why when Absalom was a little boy, he used to be very rebellious. David did nothing about it. They leave him as a small boy. You understand? For this generation, wants our children to grow up without correction, without discipline. Oh, it's of the devil. Because they know that they are building monsters. Eventually, Absalom ran David out of town. Are you understanding me? Oh, this generation of young people, they will run everybody out of town. So there has to be, you know, from the very beginning, he says, testing your son while he is yet what now. You understand? You know, within your reach, he will not die. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, it caused the society, particularly if you live in America, it's intimidation. The government has, you know, it's not just the government, there's a spirit behind it, the God of this world. So Christians have to fight. You have to let your children know that in this home, Christ is the head. You understand? It's not Donald Trump that is head. Yeah, that's the truth of the matter. It's a battle. Even if you don't do it, that child will run you out. It will make you miserable. Praise the name of the Lord. And so that's the situation. David could not control Absalom. When Absalom, you know, Amnon killed raped Tamar, David did nothing. You understand? It was all that made Absalom tell people, see, David is too old, he can't handle anything anymore. You understand? You're better off with me. Because there were proof of it. You see, so when we begin to take the part of least resistance, just to pander after the flesh, we are making choices. Every day we are saying, release Barabbas to us. Release Barabbas to us. Release Barabbas to us. Praise the name of the Lord. And the Bible said that God gave them over. Praise the name of the Lord. So each prisoner is going to be released from your house. Is it Barabbas, the man of lawlessness, or is it Jesus? Do you understand? The son of David. It's a choice all of us have to make. And then we are making it. Make no mistake about that. You see, we're waiting for, they tell us that, oh, one day, then we will stand before the throne. Some people will stand this side. They say, you go to heaven, go to hell. There's no such thing. You are under judgment as I'm talking to you right now. This word that has come, do you understand? What will you do about Jesus, who is called the Christ? You must make a response. You must take a position right now. What are you saying about him? Who do you say that I am? Praise the name of the Lord. You know, so then I just want to encourage us. We must get ready. If we are not ready, do you know what 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says? That day will overtake us if we remain in darkness. Is that what the Bible says? If you are in darkness, then that day will overtake you on our way. Destruction. Sudden destruction. But brethren, we are not in darkness. We are in the light. And we must learn to walk in the light. John said to John chapter 12, he said, while you have the light, walk where? In the light. Let the darkness overtake you. If you do not walk, you see, when you know the truth, speak it. Do you understand the point? Don't be doing it like this. Are you getting my brethren? See, if you know what is true, do it. If you know what is right, say it. If you're in fellowship and something is wrong, do what now? See it. Don't. You see, the moment you begin the path of hypocrisy, you are building up for darkness to overtake you. Whatever you know is right, do it. Don't allow things. You know, Pilate, for instance, let me give you a story about Pilate. You know, Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. He should have been bold enough to say, no way. But to save his political office, he sentenced him to death because they threatened him, we'll report you to Caesar. You know what happened? Eventually, he still lost that office. Just shortly after that, there was a riot and he was sentenced to exile somewhere in Italy. His career terminated in shame and ignominy. But if he had taken that position that day, nothing would have happened. Nothing would have happened. And so then I want to encourage us, as we walk this walk, we need to be bold and stand for the truth. And brethren, believe me, the Lord will stand for you. Amen. But if we deny him, the thing that we feared will still come upon us. I pray that the Lord will help us. You know, that in the day of our testing, in the day when we are searched, in the day when we are confronted by the hour of darkness, hallelujah, the Lord will grant us the capacity and the ability to overcome. God bless you.